And we are so blessed by our children. The scripture reading today is from Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. This is the word of God for the people of God. The next reading of the scripture is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, the great commandment. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances, that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We heard scripture this morning that helps us remember that Moses and Jesus agree on what's really important and how to keep God's commandments front and center in our lives. It was a video seen around the world, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore before, and on March 26th, 2024, we saw it tumbling into the water on the news. Did you see that video, that information? The disaster occurred when the massive container ship MV Dolly, lost power and crashed into one of the bridge's pillars, sending people and vehicles into the cold, dark Patapsco River in the middle of the night. Six members of a road construction crew were killed in the accident. The chilling video showed the bridge quickly collapsing moments after the impact. Dolly is an enormous ship, 984 feet long, approximately the length of three football fields. And you see how tall it was, packed with cargo. We learned that the lights on the ship flashed off and on before the accident, suggesting that an electrical problem caused the crew to lose control of the vessel. The FBI quickly opened an investigation into whether the crew departed from the port knowing that the ship had serious issues. And the U.S. Attorney for Maryland said, "We will seek accountability for anyone who may be responsible." According to CNN, the bridge was 1.6 miles long and a critical link in the Baltimore Beltway, a travel route for 30,000 commuters per day. In addition, it soared over a channel that gave ships access to Baltimore, the ninth largest port in the country for international cargo. The collapse deposited tons of steel and concrete into the water, suspending commercial shipping for weeks. Without its pillar, the bridge could not stand. In our scripture, we heard, "Hear," Moses wrote, and we heard, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone." That was in Deuteronomy. The strongest chapter in Deuteronomy, in that chapter, Moses describes God as the strongest pillar of our faith. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." Moses is calling us to trust in the one true God, the almighty power who loves us and desires that we experience fullness of life. Moses predicts that if the Israelites observe the commandments of God, it will go well with them, and they will multiply greatly in the land that had been promised to them. The same is true for us. The good news of this passage is that the Almighty God desires to work for good in our lives. Decrees and commandments are given for our benefit, to structure our living in life-giving ways. Just as driving over a bridge would be dangerous without guardrails and lane markers, our lives would become chaotic without the ordering of God's laws. And the commandments are meant to be helpful to us, not to be oppressive. Notice that Moses says, "Hear, O Israel." Particularly important is the verb "hear." In Hebrew, it's Shema. In Romans 10, hearing is critical to the life of faith, even more important than seeing, as the Apostle Paul noted when he said, "Faith comes from what is heard." We are challenged to hear that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. It is Yahweh, the personal God of Israel, who forms the pillar of our faith. When the word "Lord" is written in all caps, it is code for the personal name of Israel's God. Since this name is regarded by many Jews as being too sacred to be pronounced, "Lord" is said, pronounced, the word "Lord" is said instead of, the word "Lord" is said whenever Yahweh appears. It is Yahweh, the personal God of Israel, who forms the pillar of our faith today. As Moses says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Nothing could be stronger." Unfortunately, there are many other gods who present themselves as pillars. All of them are counterfeit gods, but we still fall in love with them. I'll name a few. In Washington, the idol of power draws politicians and their supporters away from compromise, writes Pastor Henry Brinton. On Wall Street, success tempts brokers and investors to value profits over people. In Hollywood, the focus on beauty creates a standard of physical perfection that is impossible for most people to achieve. And in neighborhoods across the country, children are pampered in ways that border on idolatry, leaving them with a distorted sense of their place in the world. These are attractive pillars, no doubt about it. All of them, in their own way, promise us great rewards, but they do not provide the eternal support of the Lord, our God. When the pillars of power, success, beauty, and even children are knocked over, our lives fall apart in spectacular ways. We end up like the key bridge in the Patapsco River. Now, about the great commandment. Next, Moses gave a commandment to love the Lord, right? This is a bold new approach that goes on to become essential in Judaism and Christianity. Moses says in Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Jesus later referenced this verse as the first part of his great commandment, as found in Mark 12, 29 through 30. Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With this commandment comes the challenge of giving priority to God, much in the way that we give priority to people we love. Spouses, children, relatives, close friends, love is much stronger. It's a strong bond and obligation. It's much stronger than even respect, duty, or affection. Love is how we protect the pillar and build our lives around it. It is the first and greatest commandment, says Bible professor Elizabeth Achtmeyer. It forms a central requirement given in Deuteronomy's sermons to the people of God, she said. If our love for God is undermined, our relationship with God quickly collapses, leaving enormous pain and destruction behind. If we allow counterfeit gods to take the place of our Lord God, we will find ourselves without strong support that we need. And if we allow ourselves to love anything more than God, we will find ourselves failing in spectacular fashion. We do not want to be like the Dali, a ship with serious system problems. So how do we maintain our love for God? In Deuteronomy, Moses urges the people to keep his words in their hearts, recite them to their children, and talk about them both inside and outside their homes. Bind them as a sign on your hand, he says. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house. With these words, Moses gives the Israelites advice of how to maintain the centrality of the commandments, particularly the Ten Commandments. And in Jewish tradition, these instructions are taken literally. Have you ever seen a picture of a Jewish person or a Jewish person wearing a phylactery? It's a small leather container that contains Bible text. Have you ever seen that they nail a mezuzah to a doorway that has in it prayer? Every time they go in and they go out, they have prayer. By doing this, God's law is remembered in every aspect of life. Very few Christians today are going to wear phylacteries. I invite you to look it up. A phylactery. Look it up. It's very interesting to learn about it. Or nail mezuzahs to their doorways. But we can follow the instructions of Moses by teaching our children the Ten Commandments as well as the great commandment of Jesus. This commandment is a set of twin pillars, love for God and love of neighbor. According to Jesus, there is no other commandment greater than these. Although we do not have phylacteries or mezuzahs, we can keep these words in our hearts, share them with our children and friends, and put them into action inside and outside our homes. When tempted to make an idol out of power or success, let's focus on our love for God. When our children become focused on acquiring the latest toy or device, teach them about loving their neighbor as well. By keeping the pillar strong and protected, we'll avoid complete collapse. Now, up there on the screen, you see that Jesus used his commandment, but then the second greatest commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. May it be so. Amen.